Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, on this holy Sunday, we thank you for gathering us together in your name. And as we hear your word, we pray that you will speak to us. We pray for the power of the Spirit to be amongst us. And Lord, we pray that we will hear the words that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Well, today we observe the Feast of Epiphany, or what we simply call Epiphany Sunday. And while last Sunday, the lectionary took us to the scripture passage about Jesus as a 12-year-old boy in the temple, today the lectionary takes us back once again to Bethlehem and the visit by the Magi as they followed the star to the place of Jesus' birth. Today we'll officially conclude our observance of Christmas. But before we leave Christmas for another year, it is important that we spend a moment looking at this passage from Matthew on this Epiphany Sunday. For you see, Epiphany means revelation. Now, many of us have claimed to have had an epiphany of one sort or another when something has been revealed to us. Whether divine or not, we all have experienced revelations in our lives, those aha moments when suddenly something becomes clear. I remember when I called a former colleague of mine, who was at the time the dean of the College of Agriculture at the University of Wyoming. And I asked him if he would write a letter of reference for me when I was applying for seminary. And I remember distinctly, he asked me if I had had an epiphany. And I told him I wasn't sure it was an epiphany, but I definitely had felt God's call to ministry. But you know, in retrospect, as I think back about it, I think it was an epiphany. Because on a particular day in the fall of 2007, as I was hiking around a lake in Colorado, I felt the presence of God in a way that I had never experienced before. And I knew at that moment that I was being called to ministry by God Himself. And clearly, God was revealing to me His intention for my life. Now, those kinds of moments are rare, but we can have small and large revelations in our lives. For the church and for our Christian faith journey, the observance of the Feast of Epiphany is all about the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, but yet were part of humanity that Jesus came to save. Now, yes, we know that Jesus' birth was a manifestation to Israel too, as he came to be the light of the world that had been foretold by the prophets and had been anticipated by the Jews for centuries. But the Magi, the wise men, who traveled from outside of Israel to come see the new King of the Jews, represent the revelation that Christ came to save all people, regardless of our ethnicity or our country of origin. They were Gentiles. They were not Jewish by birth. Gentiles cannot trace their biological family tree back to Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. God made it clear that Israel was the nation through which the Messiah would come, and Israel was the chosen nation which the Lord shepherded, He protected, and He blessed. He appointed Israel to be a light to the nations. Something that corresponds exactly with Jesus sending out of the disciples to baptize all nations. Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. And in this passage from Matthew, we see that coming to fruition. Now, as Christians here today, we may lose sight of how clear God was in His declaration that all people would be under His reign. The fact that so much in the Old Testament points to the gathering of the nations, the Gentiles, to the Lord may come as a bit of a surprise. But maybe we thought that God's missionary zeal didn't begin until the day of Pentecost, when people from every nation were gathered in Jerusalem and they could be heard speaking in their own tongues as the presence of the Holy Spirit was being manifest. But that's not the case. He did not wait until Pentecost. In Genesis 12, God makes His great covenant with Abraham and says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And throughout the Psalms, there is both surprise and wonder at how active God is among the nations. It says, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." That comes from Psalm 86. And the prophets repeatedly point to the gathering of the nations to worship the Lord. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 2, "It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come." In chapter 11, Isaiah writes, "In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire." And as we already heard from chapter 49, "I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come from afar." And from chapter 60, "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And this is just a sampling of the hundreds of references of the gathering of the Gentiles to the Lord God Almighty. But now, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son into the world. And immediately we see him being the light to the nations that Israel was meant to be. First, it's the lowly shepherds who come to see Jesus. Then it's the foreigners who come to Jesus. Israel is drawing the nations to the Lord. The visitation of the Magi marks the beginning of the gathering of the Gentiles to the Lord. And this remains a dominant theme throughout the New Testament. We typically think that Matthew's gospel is written to the Jews. But look how he begins his account of Jesus Christ with the arrival of the Gentiles from the east to bow down and worship Jesus. And he ends his gospel with the sending out of the disciples to all nations that they may worship Jesus. Any Gentiles who read Matthew's gospel have got to be impressed with Jesus' interest in them. And in his gospel, John reports that during Holy Week, some Greeks who were in Jerusalem for the Passover came to the disciple Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And Philip ran and told Andrew, and they both told Jesus. And Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Greeks were seeking him just as the Magi had. So friends, on this Epiphany Sunday, it is clear to us as we worship here that Jesus Christ was revealed to all the world at the time of his birth. He is the fulfillment of all prophecy. He is the fulfillment of the law. And yes, he is the fulfillment of our every hope for salvation. Is it any wonder that we read in the Gospel of Matthew this morning that wise men came into the presence of Jesus, even as an infant, and they bowed down and worshiped him? Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Friends, this morning we have the honor and the privilege to come to the Lord's table as an expression of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And on this Epiphany Sunday, it's especially fitting that we recognize that Jesus came into the world for the salvation of all people, not just the people of Israel, but all people. It has been made clear throughout Scripture. And so this morning, as we come forward for communion by intinction, where we actually get up out of our seats and come forward if we're able, It's an expression of our acknowledgement and our understanding that Jesus Christ came for us. Let us now come to the Lord's table. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. And though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper, we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life, so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And after he gave thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. And Lord, we pray now that you will pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, the gifts of the cup and the bread. And Lord, we pray that you will use each of us to share your love with the world. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in the name of Christ our Lord.
Amen. Friends, this is the Lord's table. It is welcome to all who believe. Anyone who believes in our Lord Jesus Christ is welcome at this table. And this morning we will be serving by intinction. So if you're able to come down the center aisle, our elders will serve you at the front of the church. And if anyone is not able to come forward, we will serve you where you are. Please come. I also will have gluten-free elements. I'll be down front with the gluten-free elements for anyone who chooses those. So come, the table has been prepared for you. Come to the feast. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to worship you, to partake of this wonderful meal, and to recognize that indeed you are our God. We pray, Lord, for all of those who live in a world of hostility and violence, for those who do not have the freedom to worship you freely, for those, Lord, who have never heard your word. We lift up to you those who are sick and in need of your comfort and healing, Lord. At this time, we do lift up to you Martin Dean Hilton as he goes for a procedure tomorrow that we pray, Lord, will give him great relief. We do pray that you will be with the doctors and all of those who tend to him, and that indeed the procedure will be successful and that he may be restored to normal and healthy life. And Lord, we lift up to you Janine Williams, as not only as she mourns the loss of her mother, we pray that you will comfort her. And Lord, as she prepares for surgery on January 16th, we pray again that you will give her peace and confidence as her doctors and others prepare for that moment. We do indeed, Lord, pray that that procedure and that surgery will be completely successful. Lord, we lift up to you Tim Peters as his arm continues to heal. We pray that you will guide him and keep him safe as he resumes a normal work day. We also lift up to you David Knuckles. We pray, Lord, that your guidance will be with the doctors as he also endures surgery. And Lord, we just pray that he will know of your presence in his life. And to all of those whose names have not been mentioned this morning, but those who are on our hearts, we pray for your blessing. We pray for your comfort. And Lord, we thank you for all of the many ways that you continue to inspire us. And mostly, we pray that you will use us. Help us to be good disciples. Help us to share your love with those we encounter. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.